dirt.
The House will come to order. Today is January 30, 2015. This is the 14th day of the session. Two deadlines to keep in mind. Monday, this coming Monday, February 2nd, is the last day for House bills to be submitted to the LSO for introduction. And good luck. You might get one if it's short and sweet, because Monday, February 2, is also the deadline. So that would be quite a drafting feat for LSO that day. You might get it done, but it'd be a lot better if you had it in yesterday. Please remember that this Monday, February 2, we will convene at 9 a.m., recess at 12, and reconvene at 3 p.m. Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger, Blackburn,
here.
Blake,
here.
Burkhart,
here.
Bird,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Kennedy,
here.
Clem,
here.
Connolly,
here.
Dayton,
here.
Edmonds,
here.
Edwards,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Greer,
here.
Halverson, Harshman,
here.
Harvey, Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petroff,
Piperinen, here.
Pinnell,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Berger, excused. Halverson,
here.
59 present, 1 excused.
Our prayer for the day is offered by the Reverend Mark Marston, representing First United Methodist Church of Cheyenne.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord in heaven, we give you great thanks for all who are here today. Great thanks for their gifts, their graces. Our Lord, we give you great thanks for their individual histories, the things that they bring to this room. Our Lord, we ask that we may have peace and truly be blessed this day. Lord, may you be with the family of Harriet Byrd, that they may mourn the death but celebrate the resurrection. And may you open your heavenly gates for her. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Reading clerk will read the journal report.
Your journal committee reports that the journal of January 29th, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Schwartz and Representative Steinmetz.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Today I have the honor of introducing my daughter, Faith Clem, and she is a page for today, so if we could welcome her to the House.
Representative Pipirinen.
Privilege of the floor, Mr.
Yes,
Speaker.
Please.
In this gallery back here, we'd like to welcome some people who made the pilgrimage from the southwest corner of the state all the way to the capital city. They leaped their way here. Lorena Norton, Deborah Demander, and Sally Davis.
Welcome to the House, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you. Representative Petroff and I, for the last 2 weeks, have been blessed with, I think, arguably the finest intern who has ever come down to Cheyenne, and I would like to recognize him because today it's his last day, Walter Tulin.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Thank you. First, friends, a reminder from our great Secretary of State's office, who last night told me I was on the verge of becoming a scofflaw for not handing in my financial disclosure form. The last day is today. Bring it downstairs. It will take you 2 seconds. You don't want your name on the front page of the paper. And then the second is I'd like to just welcome, there are a whole gallery full of wonderful women participating in the Leap into Leadership program to encourage more women and girls to participate in politics. And if all of the folks that are here with Leap could stand and be recognized.
Welcome to the House. Representative Northrup.
Privilege of the floor, Mr.
Please.
Speaker. Thank you. In the back gallery, my lovely wife is seated, and would you please welcome Astrid, 32 years of marriage. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And it is a great privilege, as it is every year, to welcome to the House my immediate predecessor, and a great man who was a great member of this body for 18 years, Mr. Ross Dirks.
And I want to add, before he begins, this is the greatest voice that I've ever heard in this chamber, Representative Dirks.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, requesting privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Members of the House, I know how quickly you grow weary of the long retinue of bloviating has-beens who come before you trying to rekindle our rhetorical swagger, but believe me, these opportunities are never taken lightly, and I thank you very much. But Mr. Speaker, maybe one more thing. We constituents of House District 2 are used to frequent communications with our representative, and imagine how excited we were to hear his incipient role as Majority Whip. But the last few weeks, a curious thing has happened. We just can't find him. He's gone incommunicado on us. And so, through some run-of-the-mill rumor-mongering and some vicarious Facebook trolling, we've found the root of the problem. And it seems to be that he's putting out so many fires on this floor. Lapses of decorum. Procedural faux pas. Siestas in the snack room. And so, from the constituents of House District 2, I bring this message. House Republicans, could you please, please, please behave? Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and as a further privilege of the floor, if I may, I would also like to introduce all of the students that Mr. Dirks brought along with him. This is above you, behind you, and off to your right is the 8th grade class of Niobrara Middle School. So welcome, everybody.
Welcome to the House. I'm confident you will have a unique learning experience with Mr. Dirks as your teacher. Representative Lindholm.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please.
I'd like to introduce the 63rd to Weston County's one of our latest and greatest county commissioners, Mr. Bill Lambert. He's right over here.
The doctor of the day is Brian Kaiser, MD in Cheyenne. Please welcome him if we can find him. We're now at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 210. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 210 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to the Office of the State Public Defender.
House Bill 210 is referred to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 211.
House Bill 211, brought to us by Representative Pelkey, an act relating to criminal procedure.
House Bill 211 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 214.
House Bill 214 from Speaker/Representative Brown, an act relating to the practice of law.
House Bill 214 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 189.
House Bill 189 from Representative Steinmetz, an act relating to the administration of government.
House Bill 189 is assigned to Appropriations Committee Number 2. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 11.
House Joint Resolution 11 from Representative Kasperic, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to modify.
House Joint Resolution 11 is assigned to Appropriations Committee Number 2. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 204.
House Bill 204 from Representative Gay, an act relating to public safety.
House Bill 204 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. And the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 221.
House Bill 221 from Representative Lindholm, an act relating to parental rights in education.
House Bill 221 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 207.
House Bill 207 from Representative Laux, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 207 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 208.
House Bill 208 from Representative Burkhart, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 208 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 206.
House Bill 206 from Representative Northrup, an act relating to regulation of traffic on roadways.
House Bill 206 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 212.
House Bill 212 from Representative Lloyd Larson, an act relating to workers' compensation.
House Bill 212 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 213.
House Bill 213 from Representative Hunt, an act relating to county road construction.
House Bill 213 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 215.
House Bill 215 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to community juvenile services boards.
House Bill 215 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 217.
House Bill 217 from Representative Schwartz, an act relating to the Department of Workforce Services.
House Bill 217 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 216.
House Bill 216 from Representative Berger, an act relating to veterans.
House Bill 216 is assigned to Labor House Committee Number 10. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33 from Corporations, an act relating to elections.
Senate File 33 is assigned to Appropriations Committee, Corporations Committee Number 7. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 121, Constitutional Convention Limitations, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pinnell, Winters. Two no votes, Representative Escobel and Pelkey, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 77, State Employees Veterans Service Credit, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Moniz, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 143, Motor Vehicle Registration Fees, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who vote aye, Representative Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Moniz, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 154, Complementary Hunting Licenses, Persons with Disability, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Clem, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 157, Pioneer Hunting and Fishing Licenses, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Clem, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 172, Disability Placard Designation, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 181, Speeding Penalties in 80-mile-per-hour Zone, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Campbell, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, and Walters, three no votes, Representatives Blake, Kennedy, and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman.
We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 44. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House
House Bill number 44 from Corporations Committee, an act relating to taxation.
There is an amendment. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday in our committee, standing committee amendment
and
number
Walters,
one.
Would you move your amendment before you launch here, please?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 44 and ask for your favorable consideration. I apologize for that, members. This is a very simple change. Yesterday in the standing committee amendment, they changed it from page 5, line 3, a may to a must. In our statutory writing and construction, we try not to use the word must, and so I would like to delete that and change that may to a shall, as that's how in Wyoming statutes we like to write things.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Kirkbride.
Mr. Speaker, I just comment that we'd consider that a friendly amendment to the bill.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 44. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 44 has passed. House Bill 44 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 72. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 72 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to pension accounts.
House Bill 72 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 83. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 83 from Representative Winters, an act relating to religious freedom.
There is an amendment. Representative Winters.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to withdraw second reading amendment number one to House Bill number 83.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 83 has been withdrawn. House Bill 83 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 90. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 90 from Representative Croker, an act relating to education.
House Bill 90 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 105.
House Bill 105 from Representative Blackburn, an act relating to the administration of government.
House Bill 105 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill 114 from Representative Yagi, an act relating to concealed weapons.
House Bill 114 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 166.
House Bill 166 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to electrical safety and fire prevention.
There is an amendment. Representative Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 166 and ask for its favorable introduction. Members, I do need to make one technical change in our rules on line 16. Instead of that word facilitates, it should be facilities. And I think, Mr. Speaker, I can move that as a technical correction on the floor.
You can. Representative Swanser, would you state your motion again as succinctly as possible?
On the standing committee number one of House Bill 166, second reading amendment number one, on line 16, change the word facilitates to facilities. Federal accessibility.
Now, Representative Zwanitzer, have you moved the amendment yet?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
And so this is a motion to amend the amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. We're voting on a motion to amend second reading amendment number one to House Bill 66 by changing on line 16 of the second reading amendment the word facilitates to the word facilities. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The technical correction, which is an amendment to the amendment, has passed. We're back on the amendment. Representative Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, as we remember from the conversation yesterday, brothers and sisters of the 63rd, we had some concern with this language change on the current and adopted building codes. And so there was a lot more discussion and several conference calls. And so you'll see the language really is very similar to what was proposed yesterday. But what we're doing again is updating the 1961 accessibility requirements for disabled access. Originally, they wanted to put in the 2010 ADA Act. They believe that all of this is covered in a more thorough way in the current International Building Code standards for accessibility and supplemental accessibility requirements. And so we're no longer going to reference any specific section of that code. We're going to reference whatever the most current and adopted, both current and adopted, edition of the International Building Code, which oversees, it's primarily American, but it's international in the reference that we use. But you'll see that's the new language that we're adopting there on page 2 and page 5 instead of the original update to the 2010 ADA Act. Both the state agencies and the local building agencies around the state and the people who serve on this international council all agreed this should make the language tight and thorough and workable for many years to come. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Discussion on the amendment, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would appreciate some more information on these other discussions because, to me, this still doesn't meet the requirements. It's current and adopted edition, and this body is being asked to vote on something that will occur in the future that we have no idea what it is. Again, my understanding is in our statutes we have to define a specific item, whether it's by date or whatever. You can't adopt an outside standard, an outside practice, without the specifics. So I would ask you to resist this amendment. Again, I think we're setting ourselves up for real problems in the future doing this.
Further discussion on the amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I share the concern that's been articulated in this objection, and here's the problem that I have. It now says the current adopted code, but the question is, I think that adoption's by rule, it's not by statute, and so are we willing to delegate to staff the ability to make a rule and by making that rule, change the content of the statute? That's my number one issue with this. My number two issue is, if we do enough of these, maybe this is only one, maybe there's more, but I don't like to set up a situation where someone may overlook in the future when they're adopting a new edition of the code that they're keel-hauling some statutes along with them. And so they say, well, this edition of the code looks fine. We see the changes. We're going to adopt this, not thinking about, oh, by the way, when we do that, we're changing everything that's applicable under the statute that makes reference to that. So for those two reasons, I would urge you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you. I don't know if this applies to this particular bill, but in my former life as a trustee, we would be building buildings and we would have specs and we've put things out. And they changed the code between when we put the building specs out in the contract, and then we were forced to do change orders. Is that in rule and rec, or is this kind of setting us up whenever we have a new rule, our agencies are now scrambling to make sure that they cover it?
Anyone else for the first time?
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's an interesting proposition. And let me just give it another example. For workers' compensation benefits, the workers' compensation statute says that we use the most current edition of the AMA guides to rate impairment ratings. And that's what the statute says. So we can do that. I mean, and there's lots of other, and I can tell you a couple different places where that happens. But what happened when they adopted the new AMA guide, sixth edition, is workers' compensation benefits went down about one-third for all injured employees. And that guide is adopted by some folks over where the big snowstorm is showing up over there on the East Coast. And you're going, well, we have nothing to do with it. It's basically a bureaucratic system that changes the course depending on who's driving the boat. But we can do it, and we do it in statute. But on the other hand, it's how do you know what's going to come down? And so that's just another example of how these things can get away from you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Reserving for a second.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A specific example on this. The department that we have that enforces workforce safety rules rewrote their rules and regulations and did exactly what this does and says in standards adopted by reference, which this is, said most current standard. The people in the offices right below us, after looking at it, said you cannot do that for these reasons that we've discussed. You must state the specific standard by date. And that, as a result, 2 years of work went down the drain with public comments and everything, and they had to start over. That's the ramifications of doing this. While we worry about standards becoming out of date, this particular one mentioned here, it changes, but it doesn't change drastically in a few months or a few years. These are major rewrites, and again, it's done on an international basis. I would ask you to resist this amendment. Maybe someone can bring a third reading amendment that specifies, just specify it by date, International Building Code, such and such edition, and go from there. And that makes it very specific, and we don't have these problems coming up in the future. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The International Building Code is used throughout the rest of the United States, and it is used prevalently. But as the representative that just spoke about, if we don't put a date time stamp on this deal, we will incur a lot of money being spent over the next several years as we try to play catch up. This is how these folks make their money, is by updating the codes and getting adoption throughout the states, and that's why we have to do this.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd remind the body this isn't touching, you know, our building code sections, our fire codes, our standards. This is one simple housekeeping amendment in one portion of statute, not even in the building code section. This is solely an accessibility of the handicapped into public buildings. And this is a simple housekeeping cleanup update of the statute that we've been operating under this code since October 31st, 1961. That is what we currently have in our law. The world has changed. We had the ADA come in 1991. What they originally wanted to do was just update it to the 2010 Americans with Disability Act standards that the federal government is using in all buildings, that you must comply with the federal requirements. Some people on the council that deals with international codes said that was not all-encompassing enough to protect all public buildings for a variety of reasons. And they said the International Building Code itself incorporates everything in this section for accessibility requirements for the handicapped. And so they believe this is the best marker that we don't have to come back and update every time we have a rule change, that everybody complies by the International Building Code, regardless of what edition and what year. Whatever your jurisdiction, be it the State Fire Marshal's Office or your local jurisdiction that has local control, they've adopted whatever level standard they've approved in that jurisdiction. And so while some, and so all we're saying in this amendment is whatever the current and adopted by your jurisdiction part of the code is, that's what they're going to use instead of using the current 1961 accessibility requirements, which are so out of date. And so I appreciate the discussion of what happened in this body 3 years ago in a different part of the section of the statutes, but this isn't anything nefarious going on. This is a simple update on the ADA Act and how we let handicapped people into buildings. And certainly the 1961 is not the standard that we've been using at least since 1991, and not the most current update. So vote your will, but I certainly don't see the same level of concern on this one level for ADA buildings that everybody else seems to in the greater code updates of our fire code statutes. And so it doesn't affect the bill greatly. Again, this bill was to fix one specific section of the statute, and these were a handful of cleanup amendments that they said were already being undertaken anyway. So I would ask you to approve the amendment, but I would happy, and I can go back and check one more time on a third reading amendment if there's something more palatable in this section. Maybe I'll have to bring a handout to the body to make sure we're all on the same page on what this bill does and doesn't do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one as amended to House Bill 166. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 66 has failed. House Bill 166 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. We're now in that business of bills on third and final passage. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 10, 27, 45, 54, 93, 123, 127, 132, and 151.
Does anyone wish to have any of those bills removed from the consent list? Seeing none, the clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 10 from the Education Committee, an act relating to post-secondary education, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 27 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to environmental quality, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 45 from Representative Barlow, an act relating to insurance code, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 54 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to environmental quality, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 93 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to public utilities, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 123 from Representative Throne, an act relating to juveniles, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 127 from Lloyd Larson, an act relating to payment of wages, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 132 from Representative Throne, an act relating to children, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 151 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to governmental immunity, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly. Dayton, Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden, McKim, Miller, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 10, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 27, are there any changes? Conley, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no. As to House Bill 45, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 54, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 93, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 123, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 127, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 132, are there any changes? Edwards, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 6 no. As to House Bill 151, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
Having received the majority, the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 10, 27, 45, 54, 93, 123, 127, 132, and 151 have passed the House. We're now in that order of business of bills in third and final reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 53. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 53 from the Minerals Committee. An act relating to economic development and be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Risty. Now, excuse me, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 53. And members of the House, I apologize for not getting this done yesterday. But on your substitute bill, if you would look online on page 8, line 15, we forgot to change, it should be state Loan and Investment Board instead of State Land and Investment Board. And then on page 10, line 6, to address the valid question that the good representative from the northwestern part or northeastern part of the state brought up, we will add on line 6 there, the duration of the contract to provide feedstock minerals, including the end date for the contract, to put a conclusion to end of conclusion to the end of any contracts. And then on page 13, to make sure that whatever facility that the state works agreement with, that they could only enter into one contract per facility, so that facility can come back and try to enter into a second contract. And that language, it will add a new V. there and says the facility to which the feedstock materials is to be supplied has not previously been supplied with feedstock materials from a contract entered into under the program. And we would, with that, Mr. Speaker, I would call, answer any questions or call for the question.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 53. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 53 has passed. House Bill 53 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker. Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petrov. Pieperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 40 aye, 20 no.
House Bill 53, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 53 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 120. The reading clerk will read the bill. House Bill
120. May I have a quick privilege? Or can I do that?
You can't do that.
I wonder,
go ahead.
Of all the 75 or 80 people here, three of you care. And I want to thank you.
It's House Bill 120.
Where was I? House Bill 120 from Representative Allen, an act relating to motor vehicle license plates be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 120 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart. Byrd, Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards, Eklund,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Krohn.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Throne. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Burkhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 7 no.
House Bill 120, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 120 has passed the House. We're now on that order of business of Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole. The general file for today is House Bill 87, 113, 153, House Joint Resolution 8, House Bill 70, House Joint Resolution 6, House Bill 145, 32, 71, 160, 88, 60, 86, 161, 138, 139, 103, House Joint Resolution 3, 108, 130, 142, 146, 137, and 128.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Larson.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 87. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 87 from Representative Summers, an act relating to the process for adoption of education content and performance standards, requiring public hearings or meetings, modifying the process for adoption of content and performance standards, providing a transition period for districts to incorporate standards into educational programs, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 87, Content and Performance Standards, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yagi, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Pieperinen, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Patton, Chairman, and further reviewed by your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 87, Content and Performance Standards, and they report back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Patton.
I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 87 do pass, and yield the floor to Representative Summers for the explanation of the bill and the amendments.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. First of all, I'd like to move Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 87 and ask for your favorable consideration on that. Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to just walk you through the bill and then incorporate the amendment as I go, and then before we're done, when I'm done, we can address the amendment at that time.
Please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, this bill is not a revolution, but is simply designed to address concerns I have heard over the last 2 years from the public, from teachers, from administrators, and even from the state board. Some of this bill you will, excuse me, some of this bill you will recognize from an earlier bill, and I'm just going to walk you through the bill. That's the simplest way to explain it. So the first part is in 21-2-304, Part C, and this changes the reviewing of standards from at least every 5 years to at least every 8 years. And the good chair of appropriations brought a bill similar to this. His bill changed it to 10. Part of the standing committee amendment was that we changed that 8 that I proposed to 10. So it's going to kind of conform to the good chair's bill. Once again, this brings stability to districts, and it provides a length of time that can where you can adequately review a standard. And it allows districts time to implement that standard and then provide plenty of review period. And then the second part of this bill is on 21-2-304, Part C, Romanet I. It creates a Romanet I. And this provides for 4 public hearings prior to official rulemaking on standard setting and requires it to be done in geographically separate areas. In the last year, the State Board of Education has adopted this policy, but that was not the policy before. And I think it's important to have in statute that we are going to have that comment period prior to official rulemaking. When I served on another board that included ranchers and dealt with ranchers, we soon found out that when you bring a rule to a bunch of ranchers in the middle of rulemaking and don't provide adequate input, they usually get the rule handed back to you. So kind of learn some lessons from that, and I think it's important to bring this forward in statute here. So, and it creates more transparency in the process, and I think we need some pieces in statute that kind of address standards, and I think this is a good public part of that. The third part of the bill is in 21-304, Part C, Romanet 2, and this requires that the big 3 standards, math, language arts, and science, cannot be considered for revision concurrently. One of the big concerns I heard during the discussion on the Common Core was from teachers, particularly teachers in small districts, and it was really a challenge for them to be able to incorporate 2 sets of the big standards at one time in these small districts, because a lot of them don't have just curriculum directors set aside for that. Usually they have other jobs. And so this just allows that these standards, or provides that these standards, shall not be set forth concurrently. So, and by putting in a 10-year time frame for review of standards, we provide plenty of time for that to be scattered out, and now we're going to say, no, you can't do those concurrently. And the final piece of this bill was in 21-9-101, Part A, and it adds to current law by giving districts at least 2 years to implement standards into their education program. This is currently in rules and regs, but it's done standard by standard with a date on and a date off. date to be completed. This was carved out. This is the other part of the standing committee amendment. This was carved out because there was concern that perhaps 2 years was not enough. And so there's going to be a committee of the whole amendment to address that. So that kind of ends the explanation of the bill. It's fairly simple. I think it provides some very common sense sideboards. I received positive input on this bill from districts, from the state board, from nearly everybody that I've talked to. And with that, I would think we could consider the standing committee amendment and whether anybody has any questions on the standing committee amendment. If not, I would ask a question on the standing committee amendment.
Here. Question has been called. All those in favor of standing committee amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Summers?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to move committee of the whole amendment number one and ask for your favorable consideration. During the discussion of the good chairman of appropriations bill, we added some additional language kind of on the standard setting process. I thought that was good language, and I wanted to bring that language into this to kind of comport with his bill. And so I'm just going to simply read that. It will go in on page 3 after line 12, and it will create a part 4, and it will say the state board, in consultation with the state superintendent, shall establish a process to review input or concerns related to the student content and performance standards from stakeholders, including but not limited to parents, teachers, school, and district administrators, and members of the public at large during the intervening time between formal review by the state board conducted pursuant to paragraphs I through Romanet 1 through Romanet 3 of this subsection. And so we're creating 4 public hearings, but we're also, I think, creating a coordination process with the state board and the Department of Ed, and simply saying, let's make sure we contact these different, I guess, these different portions of individuals in the state. And I would certainly entertain any questions on the amendment. And if there are no questions, I would ask for the question on the amendment.
Seeing no others for discussion, all those in favor of the committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye. Opposed? No. The amendment is adopted. Is there any other discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Freeman.
A committee of the whole amendment number 2 to bill, or House Bill 87. This bill is very simple and I think adds to the quality of the bill. It reaffirms that within every 10 years that the standards have to be evaluated. Again, what this says is it can be up to 10 years, but if something needs to be changed, the superintendent and the state school board can trigger that. When we were discussing this bill, there was one section of rules and regulations that were going to be codified into law, and the best way I can describe my reaction was as a teacher flashback. Whenever these standards would come to us, oftentimes by the time they got down to the teachers and the students, they had to be filtered through the department, had to be filtered through the curriculum, had to be filtered through a whole bunch of other things. So by the time they got to me and my students, they're saying you have to adapt these things because the deadline is in 4 months or 3 months, and we have to order books, usually was the sentence. So the idea of putting rules and regulations into statutes scared me, and I deleted the the portion of rules and regulations that we're going to go into the statute. So what this amendment does is it puts those back in, but instead of 2 years, what it does is it puts it in 3 years. So there should be plenty of time to take the adopted standards and get them all the way down into the teachers, into the classrooms. And if there isn't any questions, I call for the question.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, I would like to point out that there's two things that are being intervened in here. One is that we have adopted now that they cannot have concurrent consideration of three of the major nine standards that the board has to consider. In doing that, the 10 years then provides that gives that extra time with the 2 years of implementation by the local districts. So there's a matching of support to the state board as well as to the local districts with the adoption of this amendment. Speaking on and for it. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, on in support of this amendment. And just for clarity, I want to explain the amendment itself. It deletes the standing committee amendment. Okay, that's the first part of the amendment, line one. And then line four, we have to go back in and make sure we amend that 8 to 10. So that's just putting back what that part of what the standing committee amendment was doing. And then on line six, we're changing from 2 to 3. And the reason I support this is during the heavy lift on the Common Core, I heard that it really took 3 years to get standards in place, and yet they had these kind of stringent timelines in place, so of 2 years. So I just want to give that flexibility to districts. Thank you.
Question has been called. On all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The amendment is adopted. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative,
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 87 and ask for your favorable consideration. Basically, all this does was add on page 3, line 5, after the word report, all public comments. This would give them the authority to report on the public comments, the findings, and recommendations to the Joint Education Committee, and I would stand for any questions.
Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't necessarily oppose this. I just want to make sure everybody understands that I understand it correctly. And if I do, this means hundreds of pages of public comments coming to the Joint Education Committee. And we can always ask for them if we want them, if we think they would be beneficial or we have concerns that the board didn't address the public comments. But for anybody who's participated in a rulemaking process, you know that you can end up with hundreds and maybe even more than hundreds of pages of public comments. And I have a small confession to make. As a member of the Joint Education Committee, the chances of me reading all of those comments are pretty slim. So I don't really oppose this. You know, it's just transparency. I just think it's maybe more cumbersome than what we need, and maybe I can work with the bringer to tweak it a little bit on third reading or second reading.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I don't have an issue with this amendment. I have the same concerns as the good representative from the capital city. But at the same time, currently, we're really not receiving any comments. And so, yes, we could ask for that. You know, perhaps a summary of comments might be a better way to do it. But, you know, maybe they can work that out. But I certainly support the concept of this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. The way that it's written is it's stating all public comments. It's a little bit difficult or cumbersome to have the expectation that somebody that gets up there and talks for 20 minutes and you're going to capture all of that in the form of quote-unquote minutes. I understand the purpose that is being here, but I think perhaps a third reading amendment or a second reading amendment could make it a little bit easier for the recognition of the public comments as opposed to stating that all public comments must be included. Therefore, with that, I state my opposition to the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on and in support of this amendment. I think one of the biggest frustrations I've heard from my constituency is that public comment just seems to be a box that you check off when you have a public meeting. Folks don't think that their comments are being heard, are being collated, are being read. And I would really urge whoever is assembling public comments to sort them, get a 3-inch binder and put them pros, cons, neutrals. I think we'd all be surprised at who would enjoy reading all those public comments.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I don't know if all of you received the emails that we've gone through the last couple of years, but one of the biggest complaints has been, you know, where are the public comments? Did you have any public comments? How many public comments were there? We've heard testimony on this floor that, the state board gets a comment and it goes in the trash can or doesn't even get acknowledged. I think this is just adds transparency to what we're trying to do, so I urge you to support this amendment. Thank you.
Oh, Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not on or against the amendment as it stands right now, but a bit of a concern that there's no appropriation that's included with it, and that it seems to me that if we're going to have copies of public comments, that's going to cost money. It's something that we don't have right now. And maybe an alternative for a third reading amendment could be that the audio file is made available, something along those lines, so that we can have access to it, but we're not going to require that transcription, which I think would cost a lot of money.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for this amendment, I would submit that the most important voice in the education process is the parents in particular, second only to the students. This is a good amendment. Now, whether or not we decide to look at those public comments or not, that's a whole nother story. It was mentioned just a moment ago as I was coming up to the podium, though, we live in an electronic age, and it's not so difficult to compile those public comments even in a document in an electronic form. So I am in support of this, and it's important to keep that in mind, that the most important voice in the education process is those who are involved, and that's not us. That is the parents. So thank you.
Chairman Patton.
Just to make it clear, the committee is not, I am not, opposed to capturing the essence of the public comments. What I am opposed to is to putting a burden on to the hearing process that you say you want all of the comments. If you want to do that, I think that you ought to be consistent, and the great speeches that are made here in this body should never be put into a digest. You should put them all in. And if that's the case and that satisfies the public, well, let's do it, but let's be consistent. If not, let's make it possible so that it doesn't take two more people to capture a 30-minute dissertation by one person at a hearing. All in for public comments and the acknowledgement of them. But don't make it a repetition of the entire testimony that's been presented.
Seeing no others up for discussion, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 3, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
I'm in doubt, so let's go on here. We'll have a standing division. All those in favor, please stand. Should I have the others stand? All opposed, please stand. Amendment number 3 is passed. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Patton's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that bill number 87 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 87 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Yes, Representative Blake.
Members of the 63rd, please join me in welcoming the Wyoming Society for Human Resource Management. They're from all across the state. They're your HR people who work for your counties and whatnot. They're in this West Gallery. Please stand and be recognized.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 113. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 113 from Representative Greer. An act relating to public health and safety, providing additional certification and enforcement duties to the Department of Revenue under the Wyoming Reduced Cigarette Ignition Propensity Act, amending reporting requirements and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 113, Cigarette Certification, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrop, Reeder, and Wilson. Signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 113 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And I will turn the explanation of both the bill and the amendments over to Representative Greer, the sponsor of the bill.
Representative Greer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'll just quickly explain this riveting bill to the floor, and then I'll catch the amendments. You know, one of the best things about coming down here is all the things that we learn. That you never know existed. And one of those items is a certification on cigarettes to show that they've been tested for combustibility. And actually what they're tested for is to make sure that once they're smoked down to a certain point, that you have to inhale on them harder. Otherwise, the cigarettes will go out. And it's a fire prevention mechanism. So, you know, I realize maybe last week we had some debate, and this does not apply to the roll-your-own type of things and only to tobacco. But
So that's about the only humor I can bring to this one, folks. So what happens is each manufacturer of each different type of cigarette has to have them tested and certified to meet this particular requirement. The state of Wyoming then has a certification tax of $250 per type of cigarette. And it's a 3-year certification process. And what happens is that the manufacturers take these to a lab and they do their own testing on them, and then they're certified, and then they pay to the state of Wyoming a fee of $250. Just for everyone's information, the certification is 3 years. We collect a whopping $162,000 every 3 years on this. Well, this was put with the state fire marshal's office because we were talking about combustibility issues. The fact is all the money, that $162,000, goes directly into the general fund, and the state marshal's office really doesn't do anything. Who does, however, have some oversight on this is the Department of Revenue, who regularly goes into shops, stores, and checks to see that the cigarettes have all of their taxing certificates, and they're the ones there checking to see if they have these combustibility certificates or seals or stamps or whatever goes on there. And so I was asked to bring this simply to shift the duties, the statutory duties, from the fire marshal's office over to the Department of Revenue. Riveting. I can tell I'm losing everybody. Okay. So the standing committee amendment was, when you look at through the bill, they had decided, if you'll look on page 2, line 12, that they thought that the state fire marshal's office should be the one to go ahead and do the contracting, make the arrangements with the company that does the testing. So that's the first part of the amendment. The second part of the amendment, it was brought, I think, in committee to everyone's attention that there is a reporting requirement to the Labor Health Committee. And as I understand it, the Labor Health Committee receives a few reports each year, and they thought that one less would be just fine. So that was the reason for pulling that out. So that's the explanation. I'll answer any questions. If not, I would take a question on the standing committee amendment first.
Question have made and called on amendment number 1, House Bill 113. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment passed. The standing committee amendment number 1 is passed. We're back on the bill.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My first bill in front of the committee. And I just ask for your favorable support. Don't let this go up in smoke.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that the bill number 113 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 113 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 153. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 153 from Representative Madden, an act relating to sales and use tax, revising the process for propositions to impose a specific purpose tax, revising the increment rate for imposed excise taxes as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 153, Local Sales and Use Tax Revisions, respectfully report same back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrop, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 153 do pass. And I will proceed with an explanation.
Chairman Madden.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this let me get this in perspective. We have, of course, the state sales tax, but we also have the local option sales tax. And the local option sales tax comes in a variety of about four different types. And I'll just briefly go through them. We have what's commonly called, it had been called for ever around here, is the fifth penny tax. And it's a fifth penny tax on general government expenditures within the county. Sometimes these expenditures are allocated, you know, by town. Sometimes the county has their own needs for them and so forth. But that's not the essence of this. Another one we have is called the tourism tax, as it's been called, and that's a tax on lodging or a lodging tax. Some people call it the lodging tax. It can go anywhere from 1% to 4%, and then we have an economic development tax that is up to 0.25 of a mil, or 0.25%, I should say, and. The thing that all three of these have in common is that there's two ways that they can be adopted. First, one way of adopting them is to, upon accepting a petition from 5% of the registered voters, however they're measured, registered voters, I guess, a petition of 5%, the county can call for an election based on validation of those 5% of the signatures. Or another way they can do it is by getting 66 2/3% or 2/3 of the organized municipalities to sign a petition asking for the tax to be placed on the ballot. Okay? And so all those are set forth in 3915203, if you want to look in your statutes. And they're, you know, there's more or less boilerplate verbatim for each one. Then we've got another one, the special purpose tax. And the unique thing about a special purpose tax is that prior to the inception of the tax, there is a maximum that can be collected, okay? So at the end of this maximum, there's a suicide clause. It's just over with that month, okay? And there's no extending it unless there's another vote. And the difference with this one is we don't have the option where you can go out and get 5% of the populace to ask the county commission to put it on a vote. So this simple bill, all it does is put all four of the taxes on the same footing as far as installing them. And I guess the last thing I forgot to talk about, when it says special purpose taxes, it's not only a certain amount of money, but the purpose has to be described on the ballot, whether it's to build a new jail or it's built to, I don't know, a new community center, whatever it happens to be, it's got to be stated, and also the amount. So if you look at the bill, all we're doing is inserting identical language into Romanet 3 that applies a specific purpose tax to make them read identical to the other three that I just mentioned. We had testimony provided to us by the public that was favorable in the committee. There was no opposition, and it's just something that needed to be taken care of. And if there's no questions, I will call for the question.
Representative Steinmetz.
Oh, I see.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, good chairman. However, I would contend that this is not just a housekeeping bill, but this is a change fundamentally in the way we do business and in the way we do government. And I will bring you to the case in point on page 2 of the bill under section A. We're talking about how we do these elections and these taxes. Currently, right now, the way it works is if someone wants to put this on the ballot, they have to have resolutions from each of our little municipalities and the commissioners, and there's a 2/3 vote. However, if we make this change, 5% of the electors and the county commissioners can go ahead and put that on the ballot, or on line 12, it changes the whole structure of how this works, or a resolution approving the proposition from the governing body. So that is a big, big change. And I can tell you why this is coming up, because one of our county officials was the one who wants this change, because in our county, the little municipalities voted down a recreation center that we didn't believe we could afford to pay for. And so this totally changes the balance of power, and I want you to be aware of that. I am on and against this bill. I would support if that or was an and. The other thing I want to make clear is a lot of those bigger municipalities, the electorate, it sounds great to take it to a ballot, but the electorate in those bigger municipalities can outvote the smaller towns. This is a check in the balance of power and a fundamental change in our how we're doing this right now. I'm on and against this bill adamantly, and I would stand for any questions you might have about our situation. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important that we realize how the statute as currently drafted can be applied, and it can be applied very well, quite frankly. I think it works. I don't think this bill, it is a fundamental shift. But if you happen to live in a county that has two municipalities, one that has 65% of the population and another one that has approximately 10%, for this to get on the ballot, the commissioners propose a resolution, and then you have to get both municipalities to agree. Now, this is a specific purpose tax, as a good chairman explained. So what ends up happening is if the larger municipality wants something that's going to just benefit some infrastructure, swimming pool, community center, whatever the case may be, what they have to do now, and I don't think this is wrong, but they have to go to that smaller municipality, call it a town, and say, okay, what do you need? And they have to negotiate that specific purpose will be utilized for maybe the senior citizen center in that smaller town, and then maybe for the community center in the larger city. Yeah, I've seen it work very well, quite frankly, and my job is to represent everybody in my county, in my districts, the counties in my district, excuse me. And so I just think it's important that we understand this change on this, on what we're doing. I agree with the chairman of revenue that this is a different mechanism from the general purpose, as the statute is now, but the general purpose is typically something that can be used in a broader scoping sweep. These are for specific projects, and you will take away that leverage that small community may have on these to say, okay, that's fine, you can have your swimming pool, but you know what, we need a new heating system at the senior center. So just for your consideration. Thank you.
Representative Edwards.
Mr. Chairman, I'm on and for the bill. As an ex-county commissioner, we went through the process that this is talking about here of the 2/3, and there are some parts in here I'll tell you about after a bit that I don't exactly agree with, but the concept of the bill is that it gives the community a chance to be heard without having the 2/3 where it can be brought up to a vote. One community can't hold the rest of the community or county as a hostage. And One of the things that we build in Gillette, the place to the northeast is a college. And when I was on city council, we had this brought to the city council and the county commissioners, and they was trying to make a Johnny Cash Chevrolet or Cadillac out of it. And I proposed that they do the Pacific Purpose Tax to build this college, and it was brought up, and it did pass. And this is what we're using right now to fund the water line that runs from the hills that are black over to the east, over to Donkey Creek. Whenever these are brought up, it makes it a lot easier if both sides can get their part heard. The only part on here that I don't agree with is the 5%, but it, as all of the other resolutions that are brought up before, or referendums that are brought up, it's at 5%. I think it needs to be higher, and I was hoping that possibly this would be able to be heard on an interim study of all of the mill levies and special districts that would be brought up in a interim committee, that it would be heard. The 5% I don't think is near high enough, but I will agree with it on this to give all the communities the opportunity to be heard. And the reason I would want to raise it is so that larger community wouldn't have the opportunity to tell the others, we don't care about you. If you get it high enough, they have to be heard both ways. Thank you.
Chairman Madden?
Let me try to respond to these comments. First of all, let me talk about the indefinite nature of the other three taxes that have the freer options, or the more generous options, okay? Once the fifth penny is passed, if it says so in the resolution, it's on there forever. The same way with the special purpose tax, or the economic development tax. The tourism tax does have to be voted on every 4 years. But the point is, the one that is the most temporary in nature is the one that we have the highest hurdle for. And let me show you another view of the one person, one vote concept that we're seeing here. You know, just assume we have a municipal or a county that's got five incorporated municipalities, all the way from villages to cities, I guess. If you have five of those and you had three of them that signed this resolution, okay, you got 60% of them said, yes, we agree with it. But the way this is structured, the other two, because they can't get either of the other two to sign it, and even though these towns might only be 50 people in population, they can control the shots and prevent the overall populace from weighing in on it. That is, you know, they may have a three-member board of trustees, and they, you know, this is just how crazy it is right now. You could have two trustees out of three vote no, and the same way with the other town, two trustees out of three vote no. You know, technically speaking, those six trustees have called the shots for the entire county. And that's why they don't have it in the other ones. That's why that flexibility is there. You can either do it one way or the other. So I would recommend that you support this resolution and get all of our optional sales taxes for local people on the same footing. Thank you.
Is there a question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill 153 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
It does not pass. A standing division vote is required. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Having failed the standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Campbell. Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings. Jennings,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
no.
Patton, Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hunt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 27 aye, 33 no.
Pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, House Bill 153, having failed the roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I ask for privilege of the floor.
Proceed.
Members of the 63rd, I want you to look up in the gallery in this direction at the three ladies up there representing the Obogan Foundation and all they do for the state and education and the people that they help so many. Mary Obogan Garland is on the left there, and she's with a couple of her staff members. And I struggle with their names. I'm sorry, guys. But anyway, welcome.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution number 8. From Representative Dave Zwanitzer, a joint resolution requesting Congress to eliminate the freeze on longer combination vehicles and consent to the creation of a voluntary compact between Western states that will establish uniform size and weight limits, routes, configuration, and operating condition for longer combination vehicles. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Joint Resolution 8, Longer Combination Vehicles-Compact Agreement, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Blake, Vice Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill or House Joint Resolution Number 8 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I'd like to go ahead and take care of the Standing Committee Amendment. This has to do with longer vehicle combinations, and as part of the compact, the state of Oregon has asked to be removed, and that is all that the Standing Committee Amendment does. And otherwise, I'd stand for questions or call for the question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Amendment Number 1, Standing Committee, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, by state statutes, the state of Wyoming is part of the membership of the Western States Transportation Alliance. And basically what that body does is look at the states west of the big river that goes down the middle of our United States, because our needs are a little different in the western part as compared to the eastern part. And back in 1991, the federal government put a freeze on all the interstate roads as far as how long combination vehicles could be and or their weight. And what has happened, all the states were at different stages of where they are, and specifically Wyoming, through statutes, we raised our limits up to like 129,000 pounds based on some road studies. But yet our interstates are frozen at 117,000 pounds. So basically what this resolution does is just ask the federal government to allow our states to form a compact and put in some preliminary studies. And so all the states have the same rules and regulations about the limits of weight and the limits of the length of vehicles. And by doing so, the advantage would be the fact that it would improve the productivity, it would increase fuel savings, it would help reduce emissions, and of course, it would reduce the number of trucks that we see on the interstates. Extremely important. So I think that's basically, in a nutshell, what it does. I would suggest to you that it will not change any statutes. I had some folks mention that they were worried about, if we come up with an agreement, if our size and weight limitations would vary from what the compact comes up, we would still have to come back to this body and make any changes. And so this is just allowing us to get together, asking the federal government to allow us to organize and come up with a set of rules. I would stand for questions.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was an aye voting committee on this. We do need to get the weights correct with other states. But in a few years, we will see probably we need triple trailers here in Wyoming. And I personally am not a fan of triple trailers, but I can see that coming down the pike. And there was even testimony saying they could come back in a couple years with that proposal. But we do need to get the weights correct with other states. And they have those huge combinations. They're called Rocky Mountain Doubles. They're big. But I would vote for this to get the weights right, but be prepared. Triple trailers will be coming. Thanks.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you just kind of give us a brief summary of the effects of these bigger trucks upon our highways, like longevity of the highways themselves?
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, they have done several studies, and back in the 80s and whatever, we have increased our limits on our state highways up to the 129,000 by special permits. But we are still limited on our interstates based on that freeze that we had. So we can have trucks driving around our state highway system, but not on the interstates. They have done great things in the world of placing axles and weight displacement, and they follow rules on the federal bridges about the weight restrictions. So everything's in compliance. Don't see any problems with the weight because they have that under control on the per axle basis.
Any other discussion? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I think we're headed in the right direction with this, but as we look at the weight of the trucks and the increased amount, it's just always a concern that I think we should be aware of. Depending on whose study you use, every loaded truck, and they used to be in the 65,000 to 80,000 pounds, those trucks, and again, it's all variable, but each truck equals 4,000 cars, or each truck represents 6,000 cars, or even up to one truck will do more damage than any number of cars. And both speakers have talked about the placement of the weight and the axles and the number of tires, and yet our roads continue to deteriorate. Do you want to call them wore out? And it's just a continual problem that we don't have enough money to take care of the maintenance of the roads we have. So I think this bill is looking at a good thing, trying to get uniformity with other states, but I still continue to have some concerns about, as we increase the number of trucks, the weights, there's special permits that can be given up into the 130,000 pounds, and again, the displacement of the weight over the axles and the number of tires is trying to make me feel a little better about it. But while I'm assured of all that, why are our highways and our interstate wearing out and we just continue to have an increase in number of trucks that, as one of the former speakers said, what is the solution? And he gave a solution that maybe we're going to have to look at this. In Wyoming, with the roads we have, I'm not sure I'm a triple trailer. We've discussed that and voted on that before. But we're looking at it, and I think this resolution is looking at all those things. So I'm concerned with this, but yet I think it's something we need. So thank you.
Chairman Swanning, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All great comments. I would just like to remind the body that if we get a compact together, they would once again look at all those features. They put that freeze together back in 1991, which was like 24 years ago. And we've done marvelous things on designs of the interstate systems, being able to put more poundage. And I think that is proven and verified by the fact that right now we issue weight limits for state highways of 129,000. So if we're able to put trucks and stuff on our state highways of 129, then you would surely think with all the improvements they've made on the interstate system that that would work. And the other cool thing, folks, this is good for us because they can, ship in and get their permit in one state and go all the way across. It'll keep the truck flow going a lot quicker. Now, if they happen to be a couple of feet over, you know, their solution is they have to bring in another truck. So all of a sudden now you have two trucks doing what one truck should do. And the compact's going to allow us to revisit all of those, have all the states agree on it, all the state transportation departments agree on it. And so it's nothing being pulled over our eyes that we won't know about. And if there is anything in the state of Wyoming, we have to come back to our statutes and change them.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions. I'm assuming this is something that's desired by the trucking industry. And second, can you talk to us a little bit about any possible pushback from the federal Department of Transportation?
Chairman Zwanning, sir.
Thank you. I can assure you that all of the trucking industries are in favor of this. They're looking to run more efficient vehicles down the road. They are not wanting to have two drivers. They'd like to have one driver. And in the pushback, part of the problem is that there's a whole set of different rules that would apply in general when you're looking at the eastern part of the United States that we don't experience as much in the western part of the United States. And so we're not asking for the whole compact, and they sometimes do have a problem when they just look at the western compared to the eastern part. So I don't think we would get a lot of pushback, but this is asking if they would allow it, and if they have a lot of pushback, then of course it wouldn't happen.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge you just to reject this. I don't even want to go here. And I agree with everything the representative from District 19 said about how many thousand cars compared to a truck. Our interstates are beat up enough as they are. When they froze the weight, they froze the funding, too. And so we're picking up a bigger and bigger percentage of the funding. I don't know how many of you remember the triple trailer wars that we had. It was a war in this state over triple trailers, and it raged on and on and on in the press and in the legislature. And they tried compromises. They said, okay, if the winds, we'll put anemometers out there, and if the wind speed's above a certain amount, then the triple trailers are all parked by the side of the road until the wind goes down. We went through all the safety stuff. These triple trailers wandering up and down the road trying to stay in one lane. If you've ever followed one, like in the state where we can do a lot of gambling, you can follow them down there, and they're not fun to follow, and they're not fun to pass. And sure, the trucking industry wants them because they'd ship everything on the road in one truck if they could do it. But I just don't think that we ought to go there. Last time, this triple trailer thing just went on and on and on. It got out of control. Finally, our state said, no. When you get a crosswind, the winds are unpredictable, you can't tell what they're doing, and these things are not sufficiently controllable. And our state said no, and I just don't think we ought to go there. I think we ought to stop right here and leave it be.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I do speak in favor of this bill. I don't read anywhere in there where it has to do with bringing triple trailers on. It's a bill that's going to promote good commerce, and that's what it's about, commerce and business taking place efficiently and effectively. Thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll qualify what I said. In the committee, there was testimony that I can't guarantee you that I won't be back in a couple of years and be asking for triple trailers. It is not in this bill. That is correct. That was the testimony in committee. Thank you.
Chairman Swanninter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we've jumped ahead a little bit too quick. This bill simply is asking that the states are able to get together. And I don't want to go back into the big discussion that we had several years ago, because it happened before I got into this body, and actually happened before I was interested in politics. But I do know, through what I remember reading and the research that I've done, a lot of that argument was that they were wanting these triple trailers to go up and down two-lane roads. All other states in this western part of the United States all allow triple trailers, but that is not what this. Wyoming is the only state that doesn't. So think about that. Secondly, all the studies out there show that actually triple trailers are safer than the cowboy setup. But that is a discussion for another day. This is just allowing us, and what we have been asked to do, what you guys have asked us to do through state statutes, is get together with the other states and let's see what's best for our states. So I ask that you support this compact. We will come back with recommendations. At that point, we can have that discussion. Some other states will have to adjust some of their standards, and we may or may not have to. But this in no way, and I want to repeat, in no way is suggesting that we're going to allow anything that our statutes already have into place. So with that, I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Zwanninger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Joint Resolution Number 8 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
The bill passes. House Resolution Number 8 has passed Committee of the Whole. All right. Uh-oh. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman Larson, I think we're ready for lunch. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again until 2 p.m.
Before we entertain the motion, are there any announcements? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet in 10 minutes in room H17, where we will hear House Bill 107, Interstate Medical Licensure Compact.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Revenue Committee number 3 will meet Monday, and it will meet Monday at 7 a.m. in the usual meeting room. We're going to discuss House Bill 200, Tax Liability and Mineral Production, House Bill 169, Tax Collections, House Bill 173, Tobacco Tax Revisions.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet at 12:15 in room H8 to consider the following bills: House Bill 167, Material Support to Designated Entities, and House Joint Resolution 9, a repeal of the 17th Amendment.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Education Committee number 4 will meet at 12:20. Give you 15 minutes. Hope you have lunch. Consider House Bill 198 on 18 and 101.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Appropriations Committee number 2 will meet upon noon recess today to look at re-referred bills, to consider re-referred bills, House Bill 122, Workers' Compensation, Permanent Disability, and House Bill 177, Collection Costs for Debts Owed to the State.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will be meeting on Monday, February 2nd at 7:30 a.m. in room H10 to hear the following bills: House Bill 148, Waiver of State Park Fees, Undeveloped Areas, and House Bill 149, Special Non-Resident Hunting License Draw.
Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Monday upon noon recess in H18 to hear the following two bills: House Bill 199, Special Districts, and House Bill 201, Deposits by Political Subdivisions.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9 has a revision to their Monday program of bill numbers and catch titles. We've included House Bill 215, Community Juvenile Services Bonds Creation, House Bill 182, Public Assistance and Eligibility, and House Bill 193, Veteran Burial Teams. And that'll be on your desk very shortly.
You've heard the motion to recess till 2 o'clock. All those in favor, say aye. Opposed? No. So ruled.